This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
وسلم وزد وبارك على عبدك ورسولك النبي الأمي وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. It's an honor and a privilege, alhamdulillah, to reconnect with my wonderful students through yahyaibrahim.com/puberty. This is part of the Grill the Imam sessions, mashallah. And I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it a blessing and khayr for all of those who are participating from various parts of the world, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues to use us all for good. This section is live on my Facebook page, on my YouTube page in general, but it's specifically tailored as answering questions for some of the students, mashallah, through our internal service. So for those of you who are watching through my website, if I can ask you, inshallah, I know many of you know exactly what to do, but if I can ask you, inshallah, to go to the Telegram service, key in your questions, you'll see under my my picture there in the browser, you'll see that under it, there's a Q&A tab. Just click on that, and then you can type in whatever it is that you seek, inshallah, to share as questions, and I'll prioritize them before others, inshallah. And those of you who are listening online in other places, on my Facebook page, on YouTube, do tell us where you're listening from, which city you're in, and let us know what you think. And if you have any questions, we get some time, inshallah, we'll try to tackle some of them. So I'm going to begin with some of the questions that are already queued from our morning session. And I know some of the people, you know, it's different time zones. I've tried to cater for three time zones. North America, so this is a good wake-up time for you guys, 9 a.m., 10 a.m. in New York, 8 a.m. Central Time. So this is catering for the U.S. kind of crowd. Earlier this morning, it was also for the U.S., and this is a good time for London, I believe, at the moment, just getting to 2 or 3 p.m. in the afternoon. And then, inshallah, our Wednesday sessions are good for Sydney and this side of the world, KL, and so on. So if you do have questions, do cycle them in, inshallah. Those of you who are watching, let us know where you're watching from, and I look forward to engaging with you as well. And our students, type in the questions. I'll give you a shout-out, inshallah. Let us know where you're watching in from, bi-ithnillahi ta'ala. All right, so the first question that's coming in now is, I have a little bit of social anxiety. Is there a hadith or is there dua from Quran or hadith to help me with that? So that's a powerful theme. And actually, I'd like to dedicate maybe most of our time together. I don't like to go past 20, 30 minutes for these sessions, but I'd like to speak about social anxiety. Two different words, right? But as a concept, it's a really powerful thing. So we are, as human beings, we are social beings. It's a form of torture to isolate a human being from other human beings as a form of contact. And in fact, within our faith as Muslims, the concept of prison, sijn, was not meant to be imprisoning a person on their own that they don't interact with other people. So solitary confinement and these kind of things, we see it as actually a form of inhumane treatment, and it's a form of abuse within our lens, within our tradition as Muslims. And the concept of imprisonment or the concept of restricting somebody from their liberty was not meant to isolate them from all contact, because how can there be rehabilitation? Now, you can find, of course, that most modern prison systems in the world that are heavy on a reformative process, where they want the person to become a better person coming out of the system, coming out of serving the time, they do not take that very callous, punitive, draconian lock them up in a cell, throw away the key, no light, no human interaction, no interaction with other people except other inmates. Rather, they try to integrate them and teach them useful skills. And that is the concept that is part of our outlook as Muslims. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about Prophet Yusuf, قَالَ رَبِّ السِّجْنُ أَحَبُّ إِلَيْهِ. He said, I would rather be imprisoned than to lose myself to the allure and the lustful leanings that are being extended to me. And in the sijn, what you find is that Yusuf is talking with inmates and he's talking with his guards, and people would come and pay him a visit. and the king saw a dream, and you know, that they would come and ask him questions. That is a conceptualization that's very different to what's happening in the world today. So from a textual perspective, we are social beings. As Muslims, as human beings, we want to be able to mix with others. The Prophet ﷺ says that there is no monkship in Islam. So as Muslims, it is considered away from the sunnah, away from the tradition of the Prophet ﷺ, to devote oneself just to the worship of God, that you sit in a room and you don't meet with people. And in the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, he said, مَثَلُ الَّذِي يُخَالِطُ النَّاسِ, the difference between the one who goes out and mixes with people, وَيَتَحَمَّلُ أَذَاهُمْ, and has to, by necessity, then be burdened by the hardship they inflict on them. Because people are going to lie and cheat. You know, there's always going to be some level of drama. That's inescapable. So the Prophet says, the one who goes out and mixes with people and bears that burden and, you know, takes it upon himself to be patient is more loved by Allah than the one who locks himself away like a hermit and a monk and isolated. That isn't seen as being an ideal. So you and I, we do need to develop our social skills, and we do need to overcome the debilitations of anxieties and fears and phobias that limit us from our positive socialization. Now, notice I said positive socialization, because there's socialization that's positive and there's socialization that could be very negative for you as a young person. And I'm not sure if you're a male or a female having sent that question in, but it really makes no difference in the scheme of the general answer that I'm trying to provide. Part of our socialization is that we understand there will be negative aspects, and we must be willing to engage in that which is going to be negative to try to turn it into a positive, or to then abstain from being in that negative for that period of time. So Allah says to the Prophet ﷺ that when the disbelievers begin to ridicule and make fun and do things that are unbecoming, فَأَعْرِضْ عَنْهُمْ حَتَّى يَخُوضُوا فِي حَدِيثٍ غَيْرِهِ, turn away from them, move yourself away from them, but only until they return to a more respectable discussion. Then you can rejoin with them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَا يَنْهَاكُمُ اللَّهُ عَنِ الَّذِينَ لَمْ يُقَاتِلُوكُمْ فِي الدِّينِ وَلَمْ يُخْرِجُوكُمْ مِنْ دِيَارِكُمْ أَنْ تَبَرُّوهُمْ وَتُقْسِطُوا إِلَيْهِمْ. Your Lord does not forbid you from mixing and dealing and befriending and having social interactions with those who have not waged war against you or expelled you from your homes, from the unbelievers in their regard towards you. Rather, you should treat them with equity, fairness, and justice. Allah loves those who do that which is just. So even with those who don't believe what we believe, that's never been a hindrance for us as Muslims. And that's why you found Islam thrives under all different kind of contexts, in all different kind of isms, communism, socialism, capitalism. Muslims have been found and are willing to engage. The second thing that becomes important is that there is that negative context of socialization. There's also a positive effect. Now, there was this long Harvard study that extended over decades, and this study was presented in a TED Talk. You can probably be able to Google it and just say Harvard study about the keys to happiness. Now, this study, it started, you know, a good 40, 50, 60, 70 years ago. And they said, we want to follow people, Harvard students, from when they are in school at college until, you know, until it comes to an end, until the last one goes. So they started that study a good 70, 80 years ago, and they've been following. And part of that study, there were people who became presidents, there were leaders of industry, and they wanted to see what sums up joy in life? What brings happiness? What is going to result in divorce? What patterns and statistics can they pull out? And they found that there was one thing, just one thing, that could predict the overall sense of joy and happiness and fulfillment over a life long lived, which was the people you had in your social network had a positive effect on you, and you had a positive interaction with them. It's when you're alone, it's when you're lonely, It's when you have negative, toxic people in your life and you don't make changes. It's when you are a negative, toxic person and don't take the cues to make a change so other people depart from your life who were bringing positivity in it, that you then find that your life was one that was not full of joy and the happiness that we are all are seeking. So subhanAllah, that's a very powerful thing. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said in the hadith narrated by Imam al-Tirmidhi, it's a sahih hadith, "Inna sa'id, the one who is joyous, laman tajannaba, is the one who is able to avoid, to sidestep, to break through, to tunnel under, to climb over al-fitan, trials and difficulties and hardships." SubhanAllah. It's a powerful way of understanding good and bad and right and wrong. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us that happiness, inshallah. So what are ways that we can overcome social anxiety? What are ways that we can overcome some of the things that are necessary for us to do good things and to proceed in a capacity that leads us to righteousness and happiness and eliminate some of that social angst? So three important things. Become familiar with a core group. Many of us, we kind of think about socialization as we want a lot of friends. Really, social people, you don't need, and we miscategorize people in our life as being all friends. There's so many different layers. There are friends and there are close friends. There are acquaintances. There are colleagues. There are people we just know. There are neighbors. There's so many different types and levels of people in our life. And it becomes important for us to learn where each boundary kind of sets itself. So that becomes important. Find a core group of people who you feel a level of comfort with. And they don't have to be the people that everybody else wants to be associated with. Sadly, many of us, we kind of want to gravitate towards those who we think other people admire. So we want to be within that clique or that group, so we will go with the flow, and that may not always be the best thing. Number two, those who are holding us down and not willing to push us up, even beyond themselves, are not really worthy of us investing in them in a capital way. It becomes important for us to kind of learn that lesson as well. And third and finally is to learn that within ourselves, there are two types of limitations. There's a spiritual dimension, and sometimes, yes, it is a dua that can fix it, but at times it could be something clinical. So if there is an element of social anxiety that is something that's just beyond you, that you're not able to fix it on your own, it is important and necessary for you to take that right step and to seek a clinician. Speak to your medical doctor, speak to your school psychologist, to a counselor, and ask them to help you formulate a way. Because if it isn't something spiritual, which most of the time it isn't, then it's something that can be overcome with a system that allows you to make incremental increases to finding a resolution for that problem. And I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you success in that. Allahumma ameen. Jazakumullah khair. Thank you for joining me once again for Grill the Imam. And I look forward to seeing you again soon, inshallah. Subhanakallahumma bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.